Hey, if you have your Bible, grab it. We are going to be in Mark 8 tonight, okay? I'm not going to give you a lot of time to really sit around, dork around talking about meaninglessness. I want us to jump right to Mark 8, okay? So if you have your Bibles, get your Bible out, Mark 8. Hey, if you don't have your Bible, bring it. Listen up. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one, okay? We don't want to assume that you do not have a Bible or that you have a Bible, so if you need a Bible, let us know and we'll give you a Bible because having a physical copy of our Bible is so, so important. So if you have your Bibles, Mark 8, this is our key verse for tonight, and actually it's going to be our key verse for the next 3 weeks as we're in a new series. If you were here for the last month and a half, we were talking about the gospel. Now we're going to get a little bit more specific, talking about some things that are going on in our lives that we maybe need to change about our lives. So let's go to Mark 8. This is Jesus, and he says this. If you have a Bible where the red letter is in it, meaning that's what Jesus said, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. First, we get a little bit of a summary from the narrator. So this is what Jesus did. And calling the crowd to him, this is Mark 8:34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone, all right, so this is available to anyone that is hearing the words of Jesus. So this is available to anybody in this room tonight, if you have ears to hear what Jesus has to say to you. If anyone would come after me, if anyone would have a relationship with me, if anybody would want to be a disciple of mine, to be a follower of Jesus, to be guaranteed life in heaven and not in that of hell, if any of you, he says, would come after me, follow me, he says, first, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's pray. God, we come before you tonight, and I want to admit, God, that there are many times in my life where I do not deny myself. God, we live in a culture that tells us, Lord, that to deny ourselves is to be stupid. And so, God, we come before you tonight, and I want to lay at your feet all of the things, Lord, that I am not denying, and I want to give them over to you, God, and I want to deny myself those passions, those desires, Lord, those temptations, because only by your Spirit, God, can I say no to those things. We pray, Lord, that that would be the case in each of our lives, God, and that through this series, Lord, that we can learn how to say no. We pray this all in your name. Amen. The series that we're going to jump into for the next 3 weeks is one that I'm calling The Art of Saying No. All right, what I want everyone to do on the count of three, I'm going to go one, two, three, and I want you to all say no. One, two, three. No. One, two, three. Now, here's the thing. The word no is a very, 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 very powerful word. I remember I've spoken on it with junior highs for a long time, with some of you guys in high school for a long time. Some of you all will remember when I first started saying, we got to get really good at saying the word no. Because in the culture that we live in, the automatic response to many questions, to many temptations, to many challenges is not no, it is yes. Right? That's very true, right? Remember that I said, if I'm ever speaking and you're like, you agree with something, feel free to shout out amen. But in our culture, people do not like to say no. Actually, we have this new phrase that is actually the complete opposite of no, which is YOLO, all right? And what YOLO means is you only live once. So if you're only going to live once, you might as well go and do it. Because if you're only going to live one time, you want to at least be able to say that, YOLO, I did it. I was able to accomplish that. I went to that party. I was on that internet site. I drank that much alcohol with all of my buddies. I looked at this. I did that. I treated this person that way. I went to this. I did this. I did that. And the culture around us is saying, you only live once, so don't say no to things. Say yes to things. And so very few people in the world around us know what the word no actually means. I mean, most of us, if we were to say, when was the last time that I said no to something? For some of us, it might actually be like really hard to be like, oh, I don't even know. Like, what could it be? Or maybe the last time you remember the word no was when you asked your parents if you could do something and they said straight up no. Now, many of us, when we think about our parents saying no to us, we don't get very happy about it, right? We're like, oh, yeah, no, because we feel like it's keeping us back from freedom. Or we feel like it's keeping us back from other things that we would like to do. Now, there's a concept in the Bible. It's called self-denial. So denying oneself, which Jesus speaks specifically about here. And then another concept in the Bible that is self-control. All right. Now, the problem, here's what I just want to say. The problem with Christians nowadays, and if you're anything like the average Christian, which I'm sure you are because you're the average Christian, and I'm maybe the average Christian, is that we start living as the people around us do, and we even start saying YOLO ourselves. And we're like, YOLO, I'm only going to be on this world once, so I might as well say yes to everything. And we start living our lives as if we are non-Christians. And I'm sure you guys have wrestled with this before. It's like, if you were to take a list of your life and then take a list of your friend's life who don't believe in Jesus, and you were to compare the differences, talking about differences, not similarities, I'm sure many of us would come up with a list with a lot more similarities than we would differences. And there's a problem with that, because as we read Scripture, we're told by Jesus and we're told by Paul and the other writers and even the Old Testament that the life of a Christian is to look very different than the life of a non-Christian. That Christians are to step out. And the number one thing that Jesus tells us here is to deny oneself. Now, the idea of denying oneself, for the most part, if I were to say, hey, write me down a list of things that you think Jesus is telling you to deny. And you might start, you'd be like, well, I don't even know, but alcohol. Okay, I'll write down alcohol, and you might write that down, okay? So I got to deny that. Or maybe going to parties. You might write down premarital sex. Some of you also might write down swearing. I shouldn't do that. All of these different things. And you'd come up with a list of, like, obvious things to deny oneself of, right? That's a pretty obvious list. Like, I mean, if you think about kind of the basics of Christianity, how is a Christian supposed to live versus a non-Christian? Some of those things are the basics. But the challenge that each of us have when we get down to the root of our faith is that sometimes Jesus and God ask us to deny things in our life that are actually maybe seen as good things. And I want to tell you a story about this. So I have a brother. Some of you guys know about my brother. I've told you stories about him before. Some of you maybe have been on Facebook. You've seen how much we look similar. That's my brother and I, my brother Air Bear. I used to call him Air Bear when I was younger, and sometimes I still do. His name's Aaron, but I call him Air Bear. And Air Bear told me this story when he was back last week when I took those pictures. And he said to me, he said, Matt, you know what? I said, what? He said, the concept of denying yourself, I didn't completely get. I said, okay, well, this is like a precursor, so when did you get it? And he said, the time that I actually got it was when I felt like God was asking me to give up worship leading. So he's a worship leader. Give that up to pursue dance. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Tell me a little bit more about that. So my brother is at school, at a school called Briarcrest Bible College and Seminary. Great school. If any of you are looking for post-Christian, post-secondary, not post-secondary, would it be post-secondary? Christian education beyond secondary high school. So post-secondary high school. Does that make sense? Amen. There we go. So there you go. Yeah. Check it out. Briarcrest College and Seminary. And my brother, in the first year, he showed up to Briarcrest. Now, the reason he went to Briarcrest is because Briarcrest is very well known for its worship arts program. If you've ever heard of the Christian Bound down here, they originated out of Briarcrest School. So my brother went there mainly for the purpose of getting to become a better worship leader. And so he goes there, and he felt like after 3 months of being there, he felt like God was telling him. They have this dance club at the school called Refined Undignified. And what this club and dance group does is they go to like youth conferences, and they do like hip-hop dancing, and then like throughout this dance, they preach the gospel to kids, and some of the dancers will give their testimony. And in the very first year, my brother's now in year four, but in the very first year, he felt like God was telling him, Aaron, I want you to join the dance team. And my brother was like, there was no way I was going to do that because I was there for leading worship. I was there for leading in the area of music. So there was no way that I was going to go into dance. And he said, finally, year four, he felt like God was really laying it on his heart. Aaron, I want you to join the dance team, and I don't want you to lead worship at school this year. And he was like, what? No way. But as many of us, when we feel the call of God, initially we're like very, 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 very resistant. But eventually it's like, I can't resist it anymore. And so we jump in. And he's like, Matt, I love dance now. He's like, I did not know that I had this love for dance. And I've never seen my brother dance except at weddings. So I'm like actually really intrigued to like actually see one of his dance videos. But like, I couldn't believe it. Now, for some of us, that seems like a little bit bizarre. Like, one, it's easy to deny the things that it's, like, obvious. Like, I know I should deny that. I know, yeah, that's an obvious one. I should deny that. But then what if God were to say to you, I want you to give up this thing. It's actually a gift, an ability, a talent of yours to pursue me more. Because here's what I think God wants to do. And this is what self-discipline, this is what self-denial is all about. It's training you to be reliant on God and not reliant on the things and the gifts around you. We've been talking a lot about becoming satisfied or finding satisfaction in Jesus. And what I asked myself when we were at the retreat was, if all of the things in my life were to be taken away from me, all of the things that I enjoy, would Jesus still be enough for me? Like, if all of your friends were taken away from you, if your family was taken away from you, if all of these things were taken away from you, would you still follow and love Jesus? And my brother said, the lesson in self-denial for me has been, I give up something that I love so Jesus can show me that he's enough for me. And self-denial is one of the most, probably sometimes the most difficult concepts, but it's also one of the most important concepts for us to get in the Bible, because the first thing that Jesus says is, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. And so here are a couple of big ideas tonight. There's a couple of them for the purpose of, there's a lot to say tonight, but I don't have tons and tons of time. So the two big ideas for tonight, if you walk away with anything, as I tell you before, these are the two big ideas. Number one, you are meant to control self. Yourself was not meant to control you. All right, I'm going to explain this in more full depth, but that's number one. You are meant to control self. Yourself was not meant to control you. And you are called to deny yourself. Yourself is not called to deny you. In the book of Galatians, you can find it in the New Testament, Galatians 6, verses 20 and 21, we read about the results of the flesh, all right? Those are those things in your life that you are tempted to that are not the design of God. And as we've studied over the last little bit, all of us are born sinners, and our number one desire or longing is sometimes away from the things that God desires for us. If you've read the book of Romans, in Romans 8, Paul says, I do the things that I very much do not want to do. He says, I desire to be better. Like many of us, we desire to live our lives more for Jesus. But there's these things that get into our lives, and we're like, I can't fully live for Jesus. It's because your self, put quotations, self, is holding you back, and yourself is your sin nature. And the you is the Spirit of God who's living inside of you. Now, what we believe as Christians, I hope you believe, is that when you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. In other parts of the Bible, we read that it's your body is now the temple of God, that God is living inside of you. So you're indwelt with the Spirit. It's in you. But then each and every single day we can pray to God, God, come, fill me with the Spirit so I can exude, which then in Galatians 6, 22 to 23, Paul says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many of you guys have heard of the fruit of the Spirit before? Right? You maybe even know a little catchy song. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Like, maybe you know that. Like, you guys know me. Like, when I was a kid, Sunday school, songs about Jesus was the way that I was learning about Jesus. But the very last one, can anyone tell me what it is? Self-control. Now, I've said this before, but I'll remind you. If you grew up in a good church with good Sunday school, they probably did like a little like 10-week series on the fruits of the Spirit. And the first week, they're like, you got to get out there and love. And you're like, yeah, love. And then the second week, they're like, now you got to go out and be joyful. And you're like, yeah, joy. Now, there's a problem because there's a problem because theologically, that's a complete waste of time. I mean, it's nice to focus on love and joy. But what the Bible tells us is that when the Spirit is inside of you and when you're filled with the Spirit, these are things that automatically happen. They're automatic. They're automatic. They're just things. It's like a byproduct of the Spirit's presence within you. So when, like, I see people that are running around not being very loving, not being very joy-filled, not really caring to be very good, faithful, or be very self-controlled, we should all just, like, start realizing and saying to one another, yo, where's the Spirit in you? Because if you're living your life with not a lot of love, not a lot of joy, not a lot of peace, not a lot of patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, the Spirit of God isn't in you. And so when people, I've had meetings with people and conversations with people, and they're like, I can't stop doing this. I'm like, okay, Jesus 101. Did you ask Jesus Christ into your life? Well, yeah. I said, okay, well, how did you do that? Well, I simply said this prayer. And I'm like, okay, great. And then what did you do? Well, nothing. Oh, okay. Well, we got your issue. They're like, what do you mean you got my issue? I'm like, we got your issue because the Spirit of God is not present within your life. You're not praying daily for the Spirit to fill you and for you to have the fruits of the Spirit because it's automatic. You pray for the Spirit, boom, boom, fruits. They'll happen. And so when people, again, constantly talk to me, and when I wrestle with things in my life, temptation-wise, and being angry with people, and being frustrated, not being very patient, and being resentful towards people, and when I'm gossiping about people, it's often because I am not at my very best with God. Therefore, I'm not at my very best with the Holy Spirit, who's to be filling me and exuding the fruits of the Spirit within me. Now, this whole denying yourself goes against every single fiber in your body, okay? It's the very last thing that you will ever want to do. It's the very last thing because it's like, deny myself? No way. But I want to go to the core because sometimes, I'm actually going to say maybe even all the time, God wants to constantly keep digging into your heart and into your life to get to the very root of the problem. And all of us are selfish. All of us are sinners. And we don't want to deny ourselves because denying oneself oftentimes missing out on things. But God's like, I got to show you something. So here's an example. So a couple of years ago, you're all going to be like, why were you doing that? I was very, very, very serious about physical fitness. And I still am quite a bit. Like I still run and I work out and stuff. But I was very, very adamant about physical fitness. And I was on this diet called the LGN. You can maybe ask me about it later. Before I was married, you can try to figure it out. So anyways, I was on this, like, it was kind of like a diet, and I was, like, really, really serious about just not eating. Okay, it stands for looks good naked. I wanted to be, like, sweet. So anyways, you can use that eventually for your thing, okay? So I was getting married. I wanted to be attractive to my wife. So I went on the LGN diet, look good naked. So I put kind of like, stop laughing. It's serious. This stuff is serious. Okay? I figure you only have 10 seconds. After that, it's all been seen before. So anyways, Listen, I can joke with you about the joys of married sex. So anyways... I was like, I want to be in peak physical condition for that time of my life. So I set up this regimen where I was getting up every single day at 5:45. I was at the gym every single day by 6 o'clock. I had like this whole, it was called the Brad Pitt workout. Did it. And I lost. You can ask Jake because Jake saw me at Tyndale and then like he saw me like a couple of years later and he'll tell you like he noticeably saw that I had lost quite a bit of weight. But I did this workout so I could be in peak physical conditioning. And anyways, so then at like the end, during that time, it really sucked. All right. Like it was brutal because I'm a food guy. Okay. I love food. Like, and I'm a thinker too. So like when I'm planning my weekend ahead, like, one, it's like, hey, what am I going to do? Two, question is like, what are we going to eat? Right? Like, some of you might know that. It's like, okay, we're doing a get-together? Sweet. Like, is there going to be something to eat? Like, that's just me. And even, like, some days at work, I'm like, I hope I go into work today. And sometimes in the kitchen over there, there's, like, really sweet goodies. And so I'm like, man, I hope there's some goodies at work today. Or if we're doing, like, meetings are way better with food. So I'm always like, I hope someone brings food. If there's no food at the meeting, it's a waste of a meeting in my mind. So, like, I just freaking love food. So I remember, it was probably because growing up, we always had dessert at home. So, like, I have this sweet tooth. And now Andrea and I have, like, this little inside joke where we eat something. It's like, you know what I want? She's like, what? But not really because it's, like, something sweet. I'm like, yeah, I want something sweet because I just want some dessert. So But during this time, I was like, to arrive at peak, to arrive at peak physical condition, that you can't keep eating Wendy's classic singles with extra cheese and an extra patty, which makes it a double. But if you order a single with an extra patty, it's cheaper than ordering a double. So like, you, I couldn't continue ordering that. And then there's like those gatherings where like Andre and I were preparing for marriage. So we were in this small group about getting married or whatever. And like every time we'd go, there'd be like someone like Janelle, she's an amazing baker. And like she would make like incredible like treats, and other people would make incredible treats. And like I would have to say no to those things. And that was all, I just didn't enjoy that because I'm a food guy, and those, man alive, those look delicious. But I was trying and working at getting better to be in a certain physical condition by the time I was married. And it's not like I stopped there. I continue to do it now. Now it's just a part of my lifestyle. But what that shows you is that sometimes we have to deny things to get better at areas in our life. And unfortunately, as I said before, there's a lot of Christians out there that are living the way that the world is living. And one, that's a problem because people are like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And they're confused out of their minds because it's like, yo, they say they're a Christian, but they live exactly like me. But two, we aren't teaching us the principles of self-denial, of saying no to things. And part of the issue, I've already kind of touched on this tonight, but the issue when people talk about or marital sex is they say it's going to be like amazing your first time, and so people start believing that, and it might not be, and it might be difficult. And then people also talk about, when they talk about that it's just like this incredible reward. And then you get married, and for the last like 5 to 10 years of your life, you've been, being honest, probably doing things on your own that you shouldn't have been doing to take care of your needs, or so you say. And so when you eventually get married, you haven't even built in yourself an ability to deny self or to even practice discipline personally. And so what ends up happening, people get married and then they're still struggling in their own individual purity because they haven't taught themselves to be self-disciplined and to deny self in the area. And specifically in that example, that's sexual sin and sexual temptation. But there's other areas, and I don't just mean like avoiding alcohol. I think that you should avoid alcohol until the legal age when the government says you can drink. Up until that point, the government says you can't. So who is your number one authority in life, right? God would say, obey the rules of the government. That's what he straight up says. And if you aren't, you're sinning, and God will, I believe, convict you of that. And much of this is very dependent on the Spirit's conviction. Movies, television. Okay, there's a lot of you out there that are watching the exact same things that your non-Christian friends are watching. And if you were to step back and be like, whoa, like, is there good content in this? That's why Paul, if you've read any of the verses of Paul, in Philippians 4:8, he says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And it's like, is Jersey Shore true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable? Is Pretty Little Liars true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable? Because other places in Scripture, the Apostle Paul says, there shall be no hint of sexual immorality in the church. No hint of it. But yet we continue to say, YOLO, you only live once. It's only one episode. I'm going to watch it. It's only one movie. Who cares? I can get into it. Everybody else is doing it. And you don't teach yourself the important principle of self-denial and self-control. And according to Jesus, self-denial is the very first place that you start if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the very first place that you start. And so what I would strongly recommend you guys do is to go home tonight, or to start thinking about, what do I need to deny? You see, God will start working on you, because when I was your guys' age, and I'll just be really honest with you, there were things that I was saying yes to that now in my life I would say completely no to. It's like I wouldn't even go close to that. Like, I used to think it was okay for me to watch The Hangover. Now I'm like, I wouldn't go close to watching that movie. I wouldn't rewatch it. Andre and I on Sunday night were away in Buffalo, and it came on the TV. I've already seen the movie, so what's the harm in watching it? Well, there is harm, because it, every single time I watch that movie, wants to make me think about bad things, about things of Satan. And if you're at the retreat, we talked a lot about how Satan every single day is looking to attack you. And you're only hearing two voices in the world. It's either God or Satan. And the question I ask you is, which one are you listening to? Because do you really think God's going to speak to me through a movie like The Hangover? Do you really think that God's going to speak to me as during a show like Jersey Shore or even Glee or all of these different things? He's probably not going to. And so what I've come to a place in my life is realizing that I don't want to give the devil any place and any chance in my life to have control over me. Because by me watching those things, one, I'm not denying myself. Because let's admit it, sometimes those things are actually quite enjoyable. You're going to enjoy that. You probably are going to. They make it so you go, whoa, wicked. He says, no, there are a few television shows in the last little while that I watched like the first three seasons of, and then suddenly, boom, the Holy Spirit was like, why are you watching that? And I was like, okay, I'll give it up. And it was funny the other day, there was one show, Sarah knows which show I was watching, and I said to her, I think it might be okay if like I watch a couple episodes. She's like, oh, really? Like, isn't that kind of like the alcoholic who says, oh, I'm not feeling convicted about alcohol anymore, I can still keep drinking alcohol. And that's so true. And all of us are sinners. We have a problem. And anytime we give in to any of these temptations, we're giving Satan a foothold in our life to bring us down. And so what we're going to be talking about this week and over the next two is how to deny yourself in relationships, personally, at school, and in your walks with God, and how we can get better at that. Because denying oneself is the very first place that Jesus starts. He says, if you want to follow me, great. You can say it to everybody whom you want, but if you're not denying yourself, then you're not a disciple of me. And if we can't even start a list of things we're denying, and this goes right to down how we're spending our money, the things we're watching, the things we're drinking, our morality, our choices, our belief system. And if the Bible is not the number one thing in our life when it comes to is something right or wrong, then we're not denying ourselves because we're believing the lies of the culture that is around us. The Bible is the highest authority in the church. We go to it with everything. And when Jesus says deny yourself and that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, boom, it forces you to ask the question, is the Spirit in me and am I practicing self-control? And two, am I denying myself? Because that's the root and fruit of Jesus Christ is when you start denying what your body or yourself wants. Big idea for tonight and then I'm done. You can go to small groups. One, you are meant to control self. Yourself was not meant to control you. And you are called to deny yourself. Yourself is not called to deny you. Yourself, your sin, sickness is not called to deny you. It wants to leap on you. It wants to take you down. And unfortunately, in many of our lives, we're giving a foothold to Satan. We're like, Satan, come on in my life. Come on in my world. You can have it. Because we're not saying no to things that Jesus Christ specifically says no to and the Bible is specifically against. And my prayer for all of us is what I'm going to pray now is that we would be a generation of young people that would look differently than the world around us. And it would actually begin denying ourselves some things that are obvious and then some things like the abilities God has given us because he wants us to find our full satisfaction in him as Lord and Savior and King of our lives. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for tonight. And God, it was very fast tonight. It was very quick tonight. And God, I know we're a little over time. But God, I thank you so much, God, that you love us. And Lord, many of us are maybe feeling that conviction right now in our hearts where we're like, oh, I shouldn't be watching that. Or oh, I shouldn't be doing that. Or I shouldn't be talking about that with my friends. Or I shouldn't be going to these sorts of environments. Or I shouldn't be speaking or doing these sorts of things online or over text messaging or whatever it is. And so God, I pray that you would convict us, that you would continue that working in our hearts, God, that you would get right to the core of who we are. And I pray, God, that we would desire, Lord, more and more to deny ourselves, Lord, because followers of you deny themselves. God, they practice self-control. And God, I know in my life sometimes I back off and I say, what am I even denying? God, the way I spend my money, God, all these different things, I'm looking no different than the world around me. So God, get to the core, we pray. In your name we ask and say these things. Amen. Amen. So head off to small groups. Have fun.